It's raining. It's pouring.
Is it really?
How do you finish it? Yeah, first time in forever. It's been like, I don't know. Don't remember.
I heard it's been amazing in Vancouver. Yeah.
It's been amazing, but we're in dire need of some precipitation, which is currently underway. So I'm very happy.
Fascinating. Fascinating story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the wet stuff that falls.
Hang on.
From the
hang
sky.
On. Hang on. Hang on. Slow down, Professor. Let me grab a pen.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 349 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Now, you were just telling me about the Labor Day weekend being so hot, but you didn't have air conditioning. It was a great story.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you want to share it with the rest of the people?
No.
Here's why I bring it up. Don't get air conditioning.
Okay.
Don't do it. You don't have AC in the house, right?
No.
You don't need it in Vancouver.
You shouldn't.
No. You shouldn't need it, and we
it
don't.
It pops up once in a while where I wish I had it, but it's seldom.
Right. How often do you use it in the car?
Always.
Do you really?
Well, I run a little bit hot, let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have it at work, which I love, and so I like it in the car, unless it's below 20 degrees outside, in which case, again, I that's kind of the temperature I like. 20 or 21, that's kind of where I like to live, 20 or 21 uh-huh. degrees. So if it's 25 outside, then I prefer to have the air conditioning on.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
my equation.
I'm a 260 AC guy. Two windows down, 60 kilometers an hour, you're good.
Yeah, no, it's the air's been pretty hot here. That doesn't do the trick for me. I prefer not to sweat at rest. That's my motto. So if I'm sweating at rest, then there's a problem.
I'm not an AC guy. We have AC in the car. We have it in the RV we borrowed and stuff like that. But we don't use it. Barely. Like, it has to really crank up. And this isn't one of those environmental things, because when you're on the highway nowadays, now that AC is so good and cars are just more aerodynamic, it's actually, as I understand it, you will save more gas by using the AC than putting the windows down.
Really?
Yeah, they say that it makes more than makes up for it, because with the windows down, the aerodynamic dynamics of most cars,
there'd be more drag. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they say now, because it's so efficient, that you're actually good to go. So it's not even about that. It's not about the environmental. Not for me.
Yeah, so for me, I love it. I mean,
Hotels, though, I do love it, because generally, you know, a lot of times you can't just open the windows or get some airflow going. So you need the AC in the hotels.
Yeah, I was just glad that we had this conversation on a photography podcast.
Yeah, right. Well, people, if you are going to get an AC unit, though, they got to sell them on Amazon.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Click through our site. Help us out.
Yeah, buy three of them.
Yeah, just buy, yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, in case one breaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been a slow week for me on Amazon. I didn't order anything.
I don't think I did either.
But I got some major purchases coming.
Okay.
Nothing to do with photography. Tools. I'm buying some tools.
Great. Okay.
I'm just trying to know. No, don't you want to know what it is I'm going to buy?
Not really.
Really?
Okay.
It's all right, cool.
Your feelings are hurt. Okay, let's hear.
Well, now it doesn't sound awesome. I was excited. I'm trying to find the right model. I'm buying. I'm looking at table saws.
Okay, I don't care.
That's a good thing. Yeah, you would just lose your fingers. That's why.
Yeah.
You'd be. Hey, when's Six Finger coming? That'd be your new nickname.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that when I got married, my brother thought it would be a good idea to, as a wedding present, to get me a table saw. Not a table saw. What's the other one? The circular one that comes down. There's a special name for it. It's not circular saw.
what, like, just like the, what they call it? Like, it's like a miter saw, but like,
yeah, yeah, that's what it was, a miter saw. And, I looked at it and I promptly returned it. I was like, really? Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am?
It's not called that. It's called something else now. And I forget because it's in German too. But they wildly handy. If you're putting in baseboards and you want to cut, you know,
you would do miter. They have men that I hire that come and do that. Yeah.
And they can come around. Yeah. Okay.
Fair Burly enough. Men that speak in European accents. They come to my house and they do that stuff.
Oh, see, I like doing that myself.
Yeah, no, that's not in my forte.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let me know. You can hire me. I'll kite in okay. with my table saw, but it'll be on a 220, so I don't think I can plug it in over there. So there's that, and then I'm going to buy that, but I'm going to buy a good one, like it, not the cheap one, because you can get a cheap one for people at home. You can get one for like $150 now.
Okay.
But don't do that.
Okay.
I shan't
like
be doing
sushi.
That.
Just like sushi. You want to pay a certain amount for your table saw.
Yes. More than likely, you're not going to lose a finger eating sushi.
Right.
However, with the table saw, that's a real possibility. So, yeah, I'm going to get a good one and a router too. So.
And from Amazon.
Yeah. I'm going to get them both from Amazon.
Okay. All right. So, can't wait to see the box. I want to see a picture of the box that it comes in.
Yeah. It'll have a picture of the table saw on it. What is going on, Adam? I got some complaints.
Nothing,
so if it's nice,
back
nothing
to
good.
School. It's back to school this week, so that's awesome. So that must be the same. Is Germany, is this back to school week after Labor Day? Do they have Labor Day?
No, well, they have Labor Day, but that's May 1st. Okay. So it's not, they don't know. There's no holiday. Like a couple days ago on Monday, right, was your Labor Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that here. There's no holiday.
Did you have back to school start at the same time?
No, it's next week.
Oh, okay. So you're still on summer vacation.
Yep.
Or your kids are you?
Well, interesting you say that. Yeah, the kids are. My daughter went to like the day camp. Like they had like a week long day camp.
Training camp for kindergarten?
No. She's going to grade one.
Mm.
So she's not in kindergarten grade anymore. One. Yeah.
Sorry, this is the big cone year.
This is the big cone year. Next week. Next. Yeah, not this show, but next show, we'll have cone pictures. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, you say that because I come at it with the same perspective from North America. Where it's like, all right, it's your first day of school, have fun.
Yeah,
you know, but here it's like no, they shut down the streets. There's parades. It's a big deal. No, what are we gonna buy her, and like what are the grandparents gonna buy her and stuff like that. And we have friends who are godparents. Like we're godparents to some other kids. I think, or not we. My wife is. I got cut, but
we'll just take one. We'll just take one. Well, can we grab a guy from somewhere else?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, I know you. I know you think you're joking. You just described it. Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, one was he was the actual uncle though,
right?
And there was no.
What
aunt.
Happened to the aunt though? Oh, there was
no aunt.
Okay,
and so but he is married, and so I would assume that his wife would have been. But
so she got cut too.
Yeah, we're gonna go off and be godparents to our own some random kid.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I never thought of it from that perspective. How come she didn't make the cut?
Yeah, Lena certainly. Well, it was Lena family. Like, is she an aunt?
No.
Okay. So yeah, it's weird. They just got weird.
It's all weird. I wanted no part of it.
Okay.
When they asked her, I was like, "Can you say no?" I'm like, "I don't think you can say no." I don't know. I don't know how it was. Anyways, but then like the godparents, they have to get presents for the kid. Like it gets insane. And so we're not doing that. And so, we're doing some of it. Like, we're having, you know, a lunch, and grandma and grandpa, Oma and Opa will come over, and we'll get dressed up, and all the parents go to the school. And I told my daughter, I said, well, I'm gonna, daddy's gonna dress up. Like, I'm gonna put on a suit and tie. Just because. Just to be that guy.
Sure.
And she does not, no way, daddy. No way.
You're gonna embarrass me.
So now I'm wearing two ties.
Sweet.
Like Back to the Future 2. That's how I'm doing it. Doubling down.
Uh-oh. Hold on. You keep telling your story. Every time... can you hear that?
Yeah.
Every time my text goes, my wife did this. She programmed baby Sarah to sing O Canada.
Wonderful.
I don't know how to change it. That's the best part.
All right.
So there you go. I got a text. I was worried it was my kid calling to pick me up because she's not feeling well. But instead it was a text from my mom, which we can ignore for the time being.
And we've hit a new low.
But Baby Sarah singing O Canada and I don't know how to change it, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That reminds me of another story related that I'll just tell you off the air.
Okay.
Just not that it's, you know, bad or anything. It's just not interesting for the listeners. Unlike this riveting talk that we got going on. So you said, hey, yeah, so you're still on summer vacation. I said, yes, we are. Because it is summer right now.
Okay.
For two more weeks, it's summer.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to the calendar.
When's the summer? When's the autumnal equinox? It's usually like the 21st of.
This is stuff that you know that the rest of us don't care.
No, most a lot of people do know. How long is each season? It's 3 months, right? And so, like the 20th, 21st, 22nd, depends on the year, whatever, of September is the autumnal equinox, and that's the first day of fall. That means that we're definitely we are still into summer right now.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Now this is going to be old man complaining. So I'm just going to get it out there, and you let me know if this is old man stuff or I have a legitimate point.
Okay.
Okay. So you know how they do everyone complains every year about they bring the Christmas stuff out so early now, blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the other day in summer, yesterday was summer too. I was in the store and they've started selling the Christmas cookies here.
Okay.
That seems excessive in the summer. Am I wrong?
It's a bit early, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm not going to go make a big deal out of it and take an ad out in the paper and be that old guy.
Sure.
But come on, what are we doing?
Yeah.
On the plus side, I love those Christmas cookies.
Yeah, and I think that's really... See, there's certain things I'm okay with. Like, if they get the Christmas trees out in the store, then, again, it's like, okay, now it's gotten ridiculous. Yeah. But the cookies are just delicious, and so... I see no reason why a treat or a consumable needs to be limited to that season. So I'm going to give them a pat on the back and say, cookie people, just make them year-round cookies. If they're good cookies, they're good cookies.
I've brought some home for you, haven't I?
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Of those,
I can't eat them, but yeah.
The gingerbread types.
Yeah. So
what can you eat? Bottom line is, what German stuff can you eat?
Nothing. Germany bans people like me.
You're out of luck, man.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal fun fact, your in-laws will be here in like a week and a half. I will get you some of these cookies and send them back with them.
Are you going to actually see them?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe. Well, maybe. We'll see.
It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 to 1. I bookie odds 10 to 1 against.
We've already connected. I know where they're staying, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Yeah, I'll camp out. So, anyways, that's old man complaining. All right, monthly challenge. Monthly challenge this week is still, unfortunately, light painting because of Adam.
Yeah, that's my fault. I'm going to take that one. I haven't even thought about it since last time, and so I should... Basically, this is my challenge. I really have to come up with something decent.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. That's
No. That's the best part. Yeah. You're just going to issue...
lay an egg and absolutely do it. 3 minutes before it's due. That's my move. Yeah.
Yep. Wonderful. Okay. Make sure you hashtag it with Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Also hashtag Adam Sucks. Put that on there. Yeah.
This challenge blows.
Yeah. Thanks for that. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I don't think I did. Oh, I did a back to school photo for each kid this year on the green screen.
So I saw that. Go. Oh, that was green screen.
Green screen, and I put a chalkboard in front, and then I see, this is the sort of thing, like I had a very clear vision of what I wanted to do, which was I wanted each kid standing in front of a chalkboard, and then I wanted to be able to write in chalk on the chalkboard, okay?
Yeah.
So this isn't something I've done before, but I recognize that we're in 2017, and this must be possible, and so... I did my green screen shot, and here's the takeaway. I think I mentioned this on a previous episode earlier in the year when I did green screen baseball photos for the team this year, and I took the green screen to the baseball field
because
I knew it was going to be the easiest way to get every kid there, and then I tried to shoot green screen outdoors, and I said, don't ever do that.
Yes.
Well, I repeated the feat and reminded myself of don't ever do that. And the reason I did it this time was because I basically decided I don't want to you know, light the green screen, which you need to do to make the post-production time fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, I'm super lazy. I don't feel like setting up all the lights. So I'm just going to take the green screen right out front of my house and then just take an extension cord. And I was going to shoot with the beauty dish only. So beauty dish on the subjects and position the green screen in midday sun to light the green screen. And then, in my head, this sounds super easy. Turns out, again, giant hassle. Setting up a 6 foot high, or probably I had it set at 8 feet because I wanted to make sure that with my angles I was going to have everything green behind the children, and needing enough separation between the subject and the background to not get any kind of green shading on them from the light reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the green screen pretty high, and again, it is the worst setup ever because a giant green screen acts like a sail, and even though it wasn't windy out, just the slightest breeze pushes this thing around and flips it over, and it's awful. So never doing it again. I said that last time, but now it will absolutely never happen again. Green screen outside, you basically need three assistants, two to hold the green screen from falling over, and this is with sandbags. I sandbagged it down, doesn't matter, it's two light up top that, again, the wind catches the green
That's
screen.
That's huge,
It's huge. So it's too big of a surface area that any little breeze kind of pushes this thing over. So
I'm going to solve your problem for you, though. Okay, right now, I'm going to solve your problem. You skip the green screen. What you do is you go buy a can of the green paint. And you paint
a wall.
Paint the wall of your neighbor's house across the street. Just paint the whole thing like that green. And they'll come out and they ask you and say, just mind your own business. That's what you say. And then, because on that side, because once you know, past 2 o'clock, that wall is in shade, correct?
Right.
So it's going to be evenly lit by shade. You can then mask off your subject and just be perfect. It'll be a perfect setup.
I like what you're laying down here. That's a great idea. Now, to the other point. So, again, don't ever do this green screen outside thing. You're not saving yourself time. You're going to lose your mind trying to do this. But once I was out there and committed, now there's no turning back, right? I mean, I'm not now doubling my efforts and saying, okay, this is a losing battle. Now I'm going to take it all down, reset it up inside, get all the light. Like, there's no way. I'm going to plow through no matter what. And so the shots were done in about 3.5 seconds because, again, I'm worried about it toppling over. For every second I shoot, I'm thinking there's a 50-50 on whether it's going to fall over. And it fell over, I think, twice.
Wow.
But anyway, so I did about 3 shots of each kid. You know, no big deal. Just stand them in front of the camera, try to get them a half-decent smile and done. And then the challenge of how do you write chalk on a chalkboard. So I've never done this. I assume there was a way in Photoshop. Turns out there is. I went through all the tools and eventually found chalk that actually looks like chalk. So just in the text sliders. You may have done this before. And it was perfect. It literally looked like exactly what I'd be writing on a chalkboard. So then I just wrote the details, you know, whatever it was. I back to school grade 5 for Sarah, back to school grade 3 for Jack, in chalk on the board behind them, and done. Overlaid their picture on it and just really, really liked it. Super simple in post-production time, giant hassle taking the photo.
Mm-hmm.
But really, really, really like it. And I thought, oh, this is something that I haven't seen this done. I mean, there's templates out there and people, you know, basically cut and paste, but to actually be able to put whatever details you want on the chalkboard in such a simple fashion was great. So I think I tagged it in the Instagram or Lisa did.
Your
so
wife did,
show
yeah.
Up. Yeah, it should show up on the Two Hoser somewhere so people can check it out on our Instagram. I think if they they either go to – no, they can't?
You're tagged. Oh, it is too. Our at Two Hosers is tagged. I don't really know how that works.
I don't know either.
If that means it's posed. One of them is tagged, one of them is not.
Okay.
But so there's
anyways,
that.
If you look for it, I think you can find it on Instagram. If not, I'll send you the pictures and you can put it on the website.
Got it.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's it. That's everything that was interesting.
See, I went the other way. I went super simple because the good part, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of saying adios to the summer. But the one good part about this time of year is when the weather is nice, which it is. It was pretty nice yesterday. You get that nice evening light much earlier in the evening.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so your kids are out riding bikes, you know, with their cousins, as mine were. And so you can just run out there with the in this case it was the 70 to 200 on a full frame, and just bust off a whole bunch of pictures and just really, really nice light, get a bunch of candids, and you're done. Like, you know, 2 minutes in and out. While I was working on something else, like in the house, I'm working on a video project I'm editing, just run outside, grab a couple shots, run back in. No post-production necessary. So you and I, like, it was a tale of two cities right there.
Right.
Me, best of times.
Yeah.
You, whatever the other, I forget the rest of that quote, but.
The best part, though, is again, it's amazing how this works, and I'm sure you can attest to this, is that the giant hassle of doing the whole thing, I have a short memory. So
right.
I guess it's glass half full, glass half empty. But I did that. I was so frustrated and angry. And then I pulled up the three shots of each kid. And instantly I was like, oh, well, I actually got something decent. And then you forget about, you know, the previous hour of complete misery, or I do anyways, pretty quickly, because then I'm on to the next task. And I think I can make something look exactly how I envisioned with what I did out there. So in the end, I mean, yeah, I'm recounting the story of how frustrating it was, but I'm happy with the end result. If I wasn't happy with the end result, then I'm miserable.
If I didn't get the photo,
yeah, exactly. So no, in the end, I was very happy because I achieved what I was attempting to achieve.
So the good news is you're dumb and you'll do it again.
I will not do it again. Okay. I will not. I will just do the lights. It's far less frustrating. I know what it takes to do the lights. It was just purely an instance of laziness. Plus, I really wanted to take the beauty dish outside midday and just test how well does this overcome the mm-hmm. sun, just one light. And again, I was quite happy with the results. So I will post it so people can see. And it, to me, it's clear that this was not done indoors, just the way the light looks. And, you know, the sun is creating quite a lot of light in the image. And so you'll see on the top of the kids' heads and on the side of their cheek, and just how good the beauty dish is as just a single light to fill in the rest in midday sun.
Very handy.
There you go. It is super handy. I will use it mostly indoors, though.
All right. With that, switching gears, photo challenge. It is landscape. Nothing to do with a beauty dish at all.
No beauty dish.
No. So let's have a look. Yours or mine first. I always give you the choice, man.
It doesn't matter. You could go ahead and you choose.
All right. Here's mine. Have a look at mine first. This is landscape. The end.
Okay. So this is somewhere near where you live, I'm guessing?
It's out in the country. Ah, yeah, close enough. It's not too far.
And I'm guessing somewhere near the Mercedes factory, or?
Is that because of the reflectors on that?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's just random. I mean, it's a good pull on your part because we are not tremendously far. It's in Stuttgart is the Mercedes headquarters and everything like that, and thus, like, everything is, there's a lot of stuff labeled with the Mercedes logo. Like, if the main train station, the Hauptbahnhof, has the Mercedes logo on it.
Well, just being that it was so much placed in a prominent position in the photo, I thought, okay, well, it has to mean something. As
I never even noticed the Mercedes thing. Yeah,
that's funny.
Okay. At all, even if that is, I don't even know if that is. It could.
It doesn't
be
look. Yeah, it might not be. But again, that's what struck me. I was like, oh, he must be saying something about where this landscape is. That,
no,
again,
we're in the middle of nowhere.
I overthought it.
No, you obviously didn't. Because again, this is you're in Mercedes country.
Yeah, here. That's what I figured.
I mean, we're still. This is still not quite. You know, obviously downtown Mercedes, judging by the landscape. No, I in essence, the whole reason that thing is there is I wanted it to just anchor that side of the image. I didn't want to do a sweeping landscape.
Okay.
No good reason why. Just because, like, it was just something I had in mind. Like, I thought, well, I'm going to start it here and basically have that be like a bracket, and then have it sweep off to the other side. Which maybe that bush sort of acts as another bracket. I don't think it does. One could make the argument. But sort of just having like a one-way landscape. And then I also wanted to feature, you know, something man-made being the road, you know. And so I got down nice and low and shot with, like, you know, there's the perspective of going off in the distance. We, you know, we have the, we can see the, we create depth that way. So I added all, you know, I thought about all these elements and where I had the horizon line, and it's not quite at the 1/3 mark, but it's below center.
Yeah,
I think.
Slightly. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, that was on purpose. Shot with right at 17 mils, I think. It's definitely the 17-40 f/4 lens, and just got down really low. Just incorporate some of the road and the nice countryside with some interesting clouds. That's not much more to say about that.
Yeah, I like the sky. The sky's cool looking.
It's a pretty cool area, like in and around the villages outside of Tübingen. You can get some really, really great landscapes, but it's also punctuated with things that you just kind of don't want to see. Not necessarily from this angle, but I tried taking some, you know, I drove through the next village and then was shooting down out towards, I thought, oh, it'd be kind of cool. Maybe I can get the castle in, it's called Burg Hohenzollern, this really cool castle on the top of like a little mountain that sort of, you know, is a kind of a, you know, what it was. There's words for these things, and I can't think
castle?
Of them.
Castle? It's a castle?
That's kind of an important landmark. It's very well known.
As far as castles go?
No, in the area. Okay. It's definitely, it's no not Neuschwanstein. Like, that's a big deal you want to go see, which I've never actually seen. But this one's, it looks really kind of cool, like sitting up on the hill. But the point is, I was shooting, you know, this cool landscape with that in the background, which barely registered because it was a wide-angle lens, and it's, you know, quite a few KMs down the road. But so in between there was a bunch of stuff, like maybe like a factory or something that you just don't, just takes away from the image.
Right.
And so that's why I shot this way and went with this one, because you have the little hills in the background. And anyways, it's kind of an interesting place. It's a fun place to go out and drive. If you're in the area, come check it out.
Okay. All right,
and again, it's something that I don't really shoot ever. Maybe this is why. All right, let's have a look at yours.
Okay, so this line is a Soyuz. This is looking down at a Soyuz lake. My wife and I, when we were on vacation, we went to a nice winery for dinner. Adults only. My parents took the kids, and we went to Hester Creek, which is very near a Soyuz, and it's up sort of on the mountainside, and we had dinner. And then after we had dinner, we're basically coming back to where we were staying, back kind of in the center of a Soyuz. And it's whatever it was, 7:30, 7:45, and the sun was, you know, it was a perfect kind of time of day and golden hour. And we're driving back, and I'm looking at the scenery, and I said, okay, you got to pull over. Here's my landscape shot. And so I didn't have my main camera. I just had the RX100, the little camera. And then I basically got out of the car, crossed the street, because I didn't want to have the street in the shot. And basically the sun, in the position of the sun going down, it was creating this kind of nice slash of light where you see, you know, the mountains and the lake, but then all of the foreground, like all the wine, the grape trees, all the
grape trees, sort of,
well, not grape trees, but you know what I mean. All the grapes grown in rows, in the wineries, just creates this kind of cool contrast. And I thought, this is what I'm shooting. So I crossed the street. I'm standing, what, like 2 feet, and I'm just going to fall off a cliff. So I'm standing on the edge, and the road is right close to me. So this was done in one shot because cars are zipping, you know, 7 or 8 feet behind me to my backside. And if I go any farther forward, I'm going to fall off a cliff. So I was pretty quick with this setup. So I just set it in pano mode and I just sweeped across. I think I did 2 goes at it. And then without ever checking the result, I just hopped back in the car because I didn't want to die. Mm-hmm. And then never looked at the photo until I got home. And never took another landscape photo on my trip. I just kind of assumed, hey, that was,
you just knew.
Well, I knew that what I saw, if the camera did it anywhere of a halfway decent job of capture, I knew what I saw was as nice of a landscape as I was going to find. This doesn't exist in Vancouver.
Right.
And this was just the time of day was right. Everything about it looked amazing to my eye. So again, it doesn't come up very often where I say, hey, please pull over. Actually, I was driving, but I decided, hey, I'm going to pull over and take this photo. So yeah, never looked at it, pulled it up, and it looked pretty much exactly as I had seen it. And just played with the levels a little bit to bring up shadows slightly in the, because I wanted to see
what okay, those so, well, were. Okay, so you shot this in pano mode, meaning?
Pano mode, meaning you have very little control. Like you have very little control other than you decide where you want the exposure to be. So okay. If I want, like I wanted, I basically set it for the sky and let everything else fall where it may. I just didn't want the sky to get blown out because oftentimes it would choose to basically really bring up the shadows in the foreground. And I didn't care about that. I wanted the exposure to be right on the mountains, the sky, and on the lake.
Right. You want it to fall off in the foreground.
Yeah. So that's all I did was basically expose it for the sky and then drag it across. And once you choose the exposure point in pano mode on this camera, it just holds it across no matter what else. Like, again, I don't know what you call that, exposure lock or whatever.
Sure.
And then just basically pull it across, got as much of the landscape as the panel would allow me, and that's it. Walk
so do
away.
You hold it? Do you hold it in landscape orientation, or do you hold it in portrait orientation? The camera itself.
The camera itself. I think that RX100 will do either. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I had it in landscape rather than portrait mode to pull it across.
And does it shoot? That's the JPEG it shoots.
Yeah, just shoots a JPEG, so not a raw image, which is why I basically knew that, oh, there wasn't going to be much I was going to be able to do anyways to it other than maybe play with contrast a little bit, which is why getting the exposure close to what I wanted was important because I knew I wasn't going to be able to necessarily pull off a good save with the JPEG.
So based on this, are you now considering just shooting all your images on that camera in JPEG?
I haven't thought about it too much, but I really probably could with that camera.
This looks like this would be something I would consider because, or at least shoot RAW plus JPEG for a while until you get your, you know, just to get your feet wet. And then, you might move over because this looks really good.
Yeah. And I zoomed in on the details. Like obviously we're looking at a compressed version, but the full version and the detail that is captured by this camera in JPEG is pretty mind blowing. Like I could not believe all the details that are rendered in the full res image. And so it's pretty cool. I mean, again, this is an old camera. This is the first generation and they're up to, I think, the fifth generation now. And this is, you know, the going rate for this camera is under $300 used. Phenomenal that it can do this. Like I'm pretty certain I can't get any more details out of the full frame camera unless I'm blowing it up to, you know, building size proportions. I don't think it's going to be noticeable to the eye.
Right.
Again, $300 camera that fits in your pocket, in the front of your pocket, that you can pull out at a moment's notice and is so versatile that you can do this kind of image with it. You're not going to get the same effect in a portrait, though. That's really the difference maker. If you're shooting portrait photography, certainly there is a big difference between, you know, the full frame with a 85 millimeter lens on it than anything you can achieve with this camera. But for you know, smaller aperture shots, like, you know, f8 and beyond, wow, does this thing do an amazing job.
So I'd be interesting to see you do just next time you're at the beach or whatever, just fire it off in a JPEG and see how it changes. See if you can make it happen. Like nothing that's going to be, you know, if you lose it, you're going to cry.
Well, and what I find too is that the raw images you can't manipulate as much. I don't really know why that is, but the raw images don't have as much. I guess is it just as much information in the file? But I can't. I certainly don't have the ability to manipulate a raw image from this camera nearly as much without it starting to look very crappy and grainy than I can with a similar raw image from a full frame camera.
I would suggest, now that I could be way off, my guess is that has more to do with sensor size and the size of the little pixel dumps or whatever we want to call them.
Sure.
It probably has much more to do with that than anything else.
Okay. So. All right.
All right.
Best, but I will say for my own sake, best landscape photo that I've ever taken.
Yes.
And not because I did anything special, just because it was the right time of day, and a beautiful thing appeared before me, and I just had enough sense to say, that's a nice picture, I'm going to take it. I'm still claim to be absolutely terrible at this, and this is kind of just walked into something that I'm pretty sure Nana could have gotten a good image out of her iPhone.
Nah.
Okay.
No. All right.
Then I'll take a little credit.
Forget Nana. She's terrible. Yeah. Okay. All right. Topic this week is how I spent my summer vacation. We talked a little bit last week about it, and I said I'd go into more detail and talk a little bit about photo-wise.
Okay.
And we'll hear from you if there's more to offer from the winery and whatnot.
I have two interesting anecdotes, and that's all I'm going to contribute. Because, if you want to know about my summer vacation, then just listen to last year's episode where I talked about Osoyoos, because it's basically the same thing. So I won't go over the details, but I will talk about one interesting story and then one photography-related anecdote.
So we went up north. My wife wanted to go up north towards Denmark. We're staying in Germany, right?
Okay.
Normally, you'd like to go south. South is where the good weather is, in my opinion. We go to, for us, I mean, for you, I mean, you're going inland, it's pretty much a push. But, you know, but if you're going to go south, you go to, say, you go to Los Angeles or something like that, or wherever, you're going to get some good weather.
Okay.
Right? So for us, I mean, last year we went to Italy, it's in the Tuscany, it's not too bad of a drive. And anyway, you've been to Croatia before, driven there, and maybe but my wife said, hey, let's go up to it's called the Ostsee, which is this sort of the German coast. Germany does have a coast, despite what most people think. It's very small. But we decided to go up there. We have a few friends, a couple friends who live in Hanover. So that's on the way up. So our plan was go to Hanover for a couple days, stay with them, go camping at the Ostsee. On the way back, stay with some friends in Hamburg. Different city. It's not the same as Hanover. Just so you know, they both start with an HA, but that's the only thing that they have in common.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so that was the plan. And so this is not photo related, but I think I've mentioned it on the show before, and I'm going to double down on how effective this technique is.
Okay.
For these road trips. Now, for us to go to Hanover, I think we're looking at around in the RV. We had an RV that we borrowed from my in-laws. Nice one. Nice. It's a nice driver, but it's not quite a. It's not the Mercedes Benz that we talked about. So it takes a little bit longer on the Autobahn. So we're looking at about a 6-hour drive to Hanover. So similar to you going to Vernon, say. It's roughly that, maybe a little bit less, but ballpark. So here's the move. I double down. We do the 3 a.m. leave. I am so in love with this move that I think I'm going to name it after me.
Okay.
So what we do is we essentially get the RV packed up the night before, and then the rest you can sort of figure it out. We actually set the alarm for 3 a.m., make a coffee, throw some clothes on, drag the kids out of bed, put them in their car seats, they fall back to sleep, and we just go. There's nobody on the road. My wife will fall asleep as well. I'll listen to a couple podcasts, and we'll get about 3 hours of driving in before anybody knows what hit them.
Okay.
And just as you're getting to, maybe you might start to feel a little bit tired, then the sun comes up. So you have to drive into the sunrise, and then all of a sudden you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So mark it down. I'm telling everybody, do the 3 a.m. leave.
Okay.
All right. So camera-wise, I had to figure out what I was going to bring. We're going to go camping for a couple days. We would have power. That was a consideration. But I ended up bringing two cameras with me. Well, that's not true. Three cameras, technically, but two real cameras. I was going to bring one. I brought the 5D Classic was going to be my go-to. However, I figured there'd be some beach days at the Ostsee, and I would still bring the 40D, which still, it will not die. It can see it now, though. It's starting to fade now.
Okay.
So its days are numbered. But so I figured I'm going to bring it to the beach. And so I'll need that. So that and the 30mm lens made the trip. Normally, if not for the beach, I would have just gone the classic. And I brought, for this trip, brought the 17-40. So I thought I'd get a lot of wide-angle stuff, which I ended up taking last month's photo challenge with, and the 85. And then the 30 covers that middle ground on the other camera.
Okay.
So that was it. Brought one extra camera battery, even though I brought the charger and I knew we'd have power. I brought one flash because I knew I wanted to get a couple, like a shot like we took for the monthly challenge. Mm-hmm. With one CTO filter, gel, to put over it. And no extra flash batteries because I knew that I wasn't going to, I wasn't going to bother, firing the flash off a bunch of times. I'd get it, six or eight times and that would be it for the trip.
Yeah.
So didn't bother packing.
Just as an FYI, almost the exact same kit that I brought.
Really?
Yep. 5D Classic, one flash, no extra batteries. I think two gels, a half CTO and a full CTO for the same reasons. Wanted a couple shots where I might use it, but knew I definitely wasn't going to go through a full cycle of batteries. And if I did, then I was done anyway. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I did the same, and I brought the wide angle. I really wanted to use the wide angle, so I bought my 19-35. And also the RX100 and I brought an 85 for the 5D Classic. So there you go, almost the exact same setup.
That is pretty much the same. Now the one difference now I think is I didn't bring any wireless triggers.
Okay.
I wanted to go even more simple, and so I have a regular little cable. Not even the one that was on the hot shoe that you can do ETTL through. It's just a simple, I forget what the name of the termination of the plug is, but it just boom, it just fires off the flash. Okay. So it's like 20 feet long or 15 feet long or however long that is. Doesn't require batteries. That's the big thing. It's a bit of a pain compared to the wireless. It's nice to be able to just, have your wife hold the flash wherever you tell her. In this case, you have to kind of consider the cable, but the no batteries makes everything really, really simple. And it can just, you roll it up, fits in your backpack. I recommend having one. I would suggest even you can probably get one, probably be great for the beauty dish just in case. And they're probably about $12 in Canada. So probably free in America at this point.
The beauty dish too has the light that I use it with the Alien Bee has an optical trigger, so I usually don't even need a trigger for
it. Nice. Yes. Yeah. There you go. So anyway, so off we went to Hanover. If anybody out there is considering going to Hanover, don't. It was ugly.
Okay.
Nice to see friends. I went and stayed with my friends from Canada. And they have kids that are close to my kids' age. They played on the trampoline, did all that kind of stuff. So we had that. That was fun. And one evening went out, we drove, me and the wife and the kids, we drove out and had dinner with Mr. Chris Marquardt, who lives out there now.
Okay.
So we went out to the Viewfinder Villa and went and checked that out and got into a bit of a scrap with his neighbor, who's kind of a jerk, by the way.
Okay.
So if you're listening to the show, I don't know what your problem is, sir, but he's a bit of a jerk. Anyway, saw them, but overall Hanover was not happy. Went into the city one day, me and the family, and I ended up snapping a couple photos just strictly because I said, well, we're here, so we have to prove to people. So I'll post one picture. Here we are in front of the train station.
Great.
Yeah, it's nothing. What do you want to say? Yes, you were in fact in Hanover.
There you go.
Yeah. At midday. Here you are at midday at probably at 2 o'clock. Moving on with your life.
Yeah.
So a couple days there. Then we drove up to the OC and went camping. And that's when the weather hit. And it was just terrible. Like it just not, like pretty much, I'd say nonstop rain, but there was a couple of windows of it when it stopped. But just for the most part, just awful. The campground was flooding. It wasn't terrible because we were in the RV. We weren't tent camping like some people. But it was just no fun. We're supposed to be there. Essentially, we were going to camp on the ocean there for like 10 days,
Okay.
We left on day four.
Oh.
Just said, that's it. We're out of here.
Moving on.
Yeah, did manage to snap a couple of decent photos, like the one I posted last week of the kids on the rock, and then I did snap a silhouette photo that I posted.
Which is
here.
way better than your challenge.
That's better grade outdoors?
Way better.
Yeah. All right.
It's just a better picture. Just again, my opinion, but it's a really, really nice silhouette.
Okay. Yeah.
So I wish I would have done nothing but rave and I feel bad for how much I tore your picture new one. And again, lots of people probably liked it, just wasn't for me. But this photo is a really good one.
Okay. So, well,
yeah.
Appreciate that.
Again, I feel like I'm the bar that decides on all things, whether they're good or not.
Sure.
So, yes.
That's your tastemaker, Adam.
Yeah. I think that people will agree with the fact – they might not agree with the fact that your last picture certainly wasn't your best. This is very, very good in so many different ways. They can just look at it and decide for themselves. But I don't think anyone could look at this and say – that's not a good photo.
No, I think what's good here is I managed to get like the brief moment in time when the clouds sort of parted happened to coincide with the exact moment where my kids weren't punching each other. And so that's why it worked out like that.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a great angle for it, and it just everything kind of works. So, yeah, check that out. That's a good one. That's a framer for sure.
Okay. So from then we moved on. The weather was terrible, and so we kind of had to call an audible. We were supposed to go meet our other friends in Hamburg on a certain day, but we had to basically wait until then because Hamburg was up near where we were. It's on the way home, so we couldn't just go home. And we had nowhere to go, so we kind of had to call an audible. And I said, you know what we're gonna do? If the weather's not gonna get any better, even if it's a light drizzle, that's no fun for camping. And so we're just going to pull up stakes, head for Berlin. Because I think, you know, we'll show the kids the capital of Germany. We'll walk around, see some architecture, stuff like that. Because there's RV spots in and around Berlin as well. Mm-hmm. So we started heading there, and then my wife got a phone call from her dad saying, why don't you check out this lake? There's a lake in this place called Krakau am See. This is sort of in what used to be East Germany. Go check that out. Maybe the weather will be fine. And so we did. We went and checked that out and ended up getting a camping spot right on the lake. And it was amazing. Like it was, the weather was, you know, it wasn't the first day. This was the picture of my kids standing by the lake in the evening. That was the first day. So you can see there's some cloud cover there.
Yeah.
But no rain. So it was actually a lot nicer. We ended up getting some sun and some really nice weather. So we managed to save the camping trip.
Okay, hooray!
Now I do have an anecdote starting there, but I want to hear your first one.
Okay, so my first one is when we were in a Soyuz. We basically spend the day going in and out of the lake and basically playing frisbee, throwing footballs, whatever. Jack and I, Sarah likes to float around in a dinghy. She has a dinghy that I featured in last. Week's episode. She likes to paddle the dinghy. Jack and I like to go in the lake and basically throw things. So we have this bouncy water ball that we play with for the most part. And we're diving around trying to make, you know, fancy catches. And the ball bounces off the water. So it's small. It's like kind of like skipping a rock, but it's this supercharged ball that bounces off the water. And so we go usually, I don't know, 20 yards apart, and we skip it off the water, try to one hop it to the other guy and see how many catches we can make. And again, it's just good fun. But we were doing this one afternoon midway through our trip, and came out of the lake, and decided we were going to go meet up with friends that were staying at another resort just 2 minutes away. So all of us, you know, packed up our stuff, Lisa, Sarah, myself, and Jack, and went over to the other place. And then we got to their place, and there's a pool, and we're swimming in the pool. And for anyone who wears a wedding ring, they kind of know, like I wear my wedding ring all the time, something feels weird all of a sudden. So I'm talking to the mom of these friends that were meeting up at their place, and I realize that I'm not wearing my wedding ring.
Wow.
And I think, oh no, like somewhere along the line. So we're at the pool at their resort. And so my first thought is, okay, well, did I lose it in the last 10 minutes? If so, let's scour the pool. It'll be in the pool. Mm-hmm. So we look through the entire pool. It's not in there. And so then I think, okay, well, where else could it possibly be? And the answer is, well, I was just before we came here playing in the lake with Jack, doing our diving and our skipping game. So it must be in the lake. Because, I mean, I never noticed it like fall off or anything, but it was really hot in a Soyuz. And so, you know, you're sweating, and I probably, my finger size shrunk slightly, and therefore my ring got loose, and it just fell off when we were jumping around. And when you're jumping around in the lake and diving for balls, probably didn't notice an impact moment in the water where it slipped off. So anyways, now we go back to our resort, and after I decide, okay, there's no way I lost in the pool. We would either found it, or I probably would have noticed it, because we were just, you know, we weren't doing anything. I was walking around in the water. I wasn't diving or playing these crazy games. So I start looking for it in the lake, and immediately, I mean, our resort is relatively small. There's probably, I don't know, 30 to 40 rooms in the sort of townhouse style around a central beach. And so people see that I'm looking for something, and immediately, you know, I've got people asking, oh, what are you looking for? Oh, it's my wedding ring. And so I had probably an army of at least 15 kids and another 10 adults just walking back and forth out in the lake saying, oh, where do you think you lost it? And I said, well,
if I knew that, sure. I would have it in my hand.
Exactly. I said, I'm not sure, but we played all around in this area. So, I mean, you can see the bottom in this lake. Like, the water's pretty clear, and you can see the bottom. It's this very sand bottom beach. But the problem is that, you know, the sand also runs, you know, deep, right? So you don't know where it is, because it probably is covered by sand at this point. So I paced around in the water with all these other people for probably, a good solid hour and a half.
Oh, my.
And then that was on Wednesday. And then I basically said, all right, well, I'll try again tomorrow. Like, the wind picks up overnight usually in a Soyuz, and so I figure, okay, well, maybe it'll pull up some of the sand and I'll have a better chance tomorrow. So I didn't find it, went back out in the morning and spent another hour looking around. By this point too, everyone at the resort sort of knew, hey, if you find a ring, like, give it to that guy, right?
Right.
So I went the next morning and I did the same thing. I paced around in the area where I thought, just hoping that maybe I'd step on it, right? Like, I'd step on it, feel it under the sand, and then pull it up. I didn't find it again. And gave up. I basically decided I gave up. I'm not going to look for it anymore. But I had this weird kind of feeling. Like, I never, my wife said, other people said, well, you know, it's out in the lake. You know, probably unlikely you're going to find it. And I just said, I know the reality of it being out in the lake and not even knowing where, because I don't know the moment where I lost it. I feel like that ring's going to come back, only because I'd lost it before in the snow about 6 years ago after tobogganing, had no idea where it was. And just when I gave up, basically, I saw a little tiny hole in the snow and put my hand in and 3 feet under the snow pulled it out, which is, again, a pretty crazy unlikelihood that I would have found at that time. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, if I found it in that scenario, how problematic can a lake be?
Right.
Can losing it in the sand in a lake? So anyways, the next day, so a day and a half later, the guy who's staying next to us, like in the room next to us, he's out there in the lake with like snorkel and his goggles and just kind of snorkeling around. And what I assume is looking for the ring. Like, sure. That's what I thought he was doing. Didn't know if it was, but kind of thought, oh, yeah, he's probably looking for the ring. And then he comes marching across the lake, you know, after, I don't know, 20 minutes. He's like, is this it? And I'm like, yep, that's it. And
wow,
that was pretty awesome, considering there's no way it should have been found.
What if it wasn't it?
Yeah, that would have been weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just found a different wedding ring.
Yeah, you say yes anyways. I'm going to pawn this one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome.
Wow.
So then, as a thank you, because I thought, okay, well, how do I thank this guy for doing that? I mean, you can't really put necessarily a price on it. It's like, oh, here's $20. Thanks, adult, for finding my ring. If it was
right.
A kid, I probably would have given them some sort of cash. But this is an adult, and he's there with his family doing the same thing that we were doing, just hanging out in the lake and having fun for a week. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to offer them like to do a family photo, like out in the lake or wherever they want. But I thought that's something I can offer to give back. And it's a cool story for me. It'll be a cool story for him. So I just, you know, went out there out in the lake, the whole family playing some game. And I said, hey, do you guys want a family photo? I just would like to say thank you. This is something I know how to do. Are you interested? And they were like, absolutely. They're from Alberta. And so this kind of scenery.
They have cameras in Alberta.
No, but you don't see this kind of scenery the same right. Where they're from. I think Red Deer or something. But
okay,
anyways,
Red Deer,
so,
yeah. Kananaskis, maybe.
So anyway, so they said, yeah, absolutely. We'd love a shot. And I said, well, do you want to do it in the lake? Do you want to do it, you know, on the shore? And they said, in the lake for sure, because that's where they spent the bulk of their time.
Looking for your ring.
Looking for your ring. So I took the 5D Classic, which I brought, and I put the 85 millimeter on it, and I backed up, and it was the perfect time. Like, I went out to ask them specifically at a time where I was hoping they'd say yes, and if they did, right now is when we're doing it, because it was the sun was just about to dip behind the mountains. And so I took a shot with my back to the sun at the, like, we're talking 2 minutes out from the sun going behind the mountains and being gone. So I took a shot with my back first facing the sun so that you get that, you know, great golden light, and everything is nicely balanced with the mountains in the background. And I took that shot, and then I said, quickly, let's do the exact opposite, and we'll spin around, and I'll shoot into the sun as it's just going behind the mountains. That last 30 seconds or so, we snapped off a few with the sun going behind the mountains right behind them. And I thought, you know, two very dramatically different photos, both cool and all done inside of 5 minutes. And so then I sent them off to them, and he was really appreciative, and it was great. And then I felt good about, hey, this was something super nice that this guy did for me. And then I returned the favor by some really good photos that I was really happy with. I did not ask him in the context. I thought about it, but then I didn't ask him if I could post them. I didn't know how good they were going to be. And then I kind of feel weird about posting them now, so I'm not going to.
Right.
But just did that. And that was just my cool photography anecdote.
And if you take the $20 that you didn't spend.
Yeah.
And spend it on a ring fitting. You're going to be pretty far ahead here.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you. I can't get my wedding ring off. Like, when I take it off to play baseball. Like, for baseball, I take it off. Like, I don't want to break. I never used to, but then someone said, what if you break your finger? And I was like, oh, probably not going to break my finger. But if you do, then you got to cut the ring off. Whatever. So, I try to get it off for that. And then also when I'm at the bar and
trying to pick up on the ladies.
Yeah, I've said too much. But
okay.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. I mean, I guess, well, your wife's glad you found it.
Yeah, she's glad. It was, again, to me, I kind of had already made peace with it.
Right.
And so I wasn't really, I don't even think I'm going to replace it. Like, I don't need a wedding ring. I think at this point, everyone knows I'm married.
Sure.
Or most people do. And I just thought, all right, if I get another one, I'm probably at some point going to lose that. So either this one finds its way back or else I'm wedding ringless,
I
think.
Plenty of fish in the sea, man.
So anyways, it was again one of those should have never found it and pulled it out of the lake a day later. And thankfully, we still had another day and a half left in our trip. Otherwise, we would have just been home
just
on our way
left
home.
Just left it,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my lake story, we show up at this lake. Our campsite's right on the lake. And right in front of us, just sort of like there's like a little cabin in front of us, and behind it a little playground that is right on the lake, like the slide pretty much almost touches the water. And so we get there in the evening, like 6:30, something like that. Boom, the kids run down and go play at the playground, and me and the wife stay behind, set up the campsite and stuff like that, you know. But we're pretty quick. So about 25 minutes later, I'm down there. I go down to see my kids, but it's amazing light. So that's the photo I posted of my two kids standing in front of the lake with the sun behind me. That's just kind of like there's cloud cover, so it's got that kind of – it's not that direct golden glow, but it's kind of got that nice overall glow, just nice even light. So that's why I brought my camera down, brought the 5D Classic with the 85.
Okay.
But the kids are on they're on the playground. They're playing, and there's about, you know, four or five other kids playing on the playground. Right? and maybe a parent around. I'm not sure, but everyone's kind of near. It's a really small campground kind of thing. But I walk up now because I'm just hyper aware of these things. I walk up. I know that my kids have been there before me, so I'm coming later. They've been there playing. I'm coming later. First thing I do is I walk up to both my kids and kind of give them the, you know, the head, hey, how's it going? So people around know.
So everyone knows, hey, I belong to these ones.
Yeah. Which is kind of a sad thing, but like it's my move. I don't think about it. That's just what I do, just to give everyone a heads up. Make everyone feel good. So I snap a couple photos of the kids. And they're playing, and then like 10 minutes later, this guy, this dude comes marching across like the field, essentially like behind like the photo of my kids there, comes walking across the from his campsite with his little daughter who's probably three, who evidently had been at the playground and left.
Okay.
Right? I don't know. That's what I can surmise. So he comes across and starts speaking English to me, even though he's from Germany, and by his accent, I'm going to guess from what used to be East Germany. And he says to me, hey, he's pretty aggressive. He's got his daughter in tow. And I ignore him because I'm like, I really have no idea who he's talking to.
Okay.
And then he gets right up on me, and he's like, hey, did you take a picture of my kid? In English. And I was like... And I'm like, wow.
He knows your English.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe I was talking to my kids when he walked up. I don't know. Because I speak English with my kids. My wife speaks German with them, right?
Sure.
And so I assume that's what it was. And I just kind of looked at him confused. And I said, no. I said, I only take pictures of my kids. I don't take pictures of other people's kids. Oh. And I didn't say my kids. I pointed at my kids and said, I take pictures of them. Yeah. And he says to me in English, he says, are those your little girls? I said, well, one's a boy. And that's when he kind of got disarmed. Sorry. I said, yeah, that's no problem. He kind of needs a haircut. I'll be honest with you. Hey, perfectly fair. He needs a haircut, but his... In all fairness to me, his curls do look awesome, especially under a hat. The kid looks awesome. He really good hockey hair. Okay, so I don't want to cut it just yet, sir. But I understand your confusion. I get it. Okay. Anyway, so I kind of calm him down. But point being, like, this is the first time I've ever really been accosted. Of hey, like what's going on here? Right. Like, I've had people look at me kind of funny and then sort of connect the dots, but this guy was and it was all disarmed, and I saw him around the campground, you know, the next three days. I saw him a few times here and there, and, you know, like, we were, you know, best friends. Hey, how's it going, kind of thing.
Now, here's and again, this just is one person, so you can never make generalizations based on that one person. But now I'm going to say here all bets are off. Like in Vancouver, in North America, I'm gonna basically say, I'm gonna give it a North American scope. All bets are off because people are taking pictures of everybody all the time, everywhere.
Right,
and that's just the way it is now. Now, I, like yourself, don't agree with that. I only take pictures of my kids. If there's another kid in the background, I either want them to be out of focus or not discernible as to who that is. Mm-hmm. And I'm very conscious of that. And like yourself, if I walk into a scenario like this, I try to make it obvious to everyone around that, hey, these guys belong with me. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's okay that I take a picture. But again, I think right now, anyways, everybody, it's game on all the time anyways. So I don't think anybody cares anymore here.
Right.
Other than us. Like, we're kind of dinosaurs in our thinking a little bit. Because I think now the idea is, if you're out in public, that's just the way it is.
Right.
And if you don't like it, then go somewhere else. I might be misrepresenting how others think, but that's what I see. That's what I see is that I'm looking around going, wow, everyone's just taking pictures of everything. This is weird.
Right. Yeah.
But I also don't ever see anybody pull that trump card that your friend from potentially Eastern Germany did, which is nobody ever says anything.
Yeah.
Or I've never seen it. I've never seen anybody say anything ever.
I sort of appreciated it, though. I said to him, I was like, hey, man, I understand. I have kids. And I started speaking German to him. I said, listen, we're in Deutschland. We can speak German. He said, oh, good, because my English isn't very good. I said, well, that's pretty good. Sounded okay to me.
I don't like his you better be sure, right? You better have seen something.
Well, I think his daughter must have said something.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, which, you're probably right.
But she really...
He's taking pictures of the kids, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. And it must have been something like that. But yeah, anyway, so it all kind of brushed under, but I said, you know, I wanted to say him, like, don't be too concerned about the guy with the semi-professional camera set up here. Be more worried about the iPhone guy. To me, that's a little creepier if the guy's snapping photos of your kid with an iPhone.
Or if he's standing from afar behind a fence with a telephoto.
Yeah,
you know, that's creepy too.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he doesn't seem to be close to anybody, and he's got a giant lens, and he's standing behind a fence. That's super creepy.
Yes. So just to go over a couple more of the photos, because I'm not going to talk about them next week. So
okay.
One of the things was great evening light at the lake. And so...
You know what? But let me just say, I'm looking at that photo of your kids, and that's a super cute photo. And when you told that story, that's the photo that I have up in front of me looking at it. And that's why I laugh so hard is... He totally looks like a little girl.
Yeah. No. Oh, come on. Big girl.
He totally does. I never thought that because I know who he is. Uh-huh. But to a stranger who doesn't know him, absolutely this is a coin flip as to whether that's a little girl or not.
Really?
Yeah, that's a coin flip. And not that that's a bad thing. He's a cute kid.
No, he's a cute kid. I'm okay with it.
And so the long hair certainly is the reason why. If you had a short brush cut, you'd say, of course, that's a boy. But with the long hair and standing next to your daughter, easily, that's the little sister.
Pretty bulky for a little girl, though. That's a tough card.
What are you saying? You can't have bulky little girls?
You can. No, you can. Anyways, all right.
That's why the laugh was extra. It's like, oh,
no,
my God,
no, you're
so right.
He does. He does.
So right.
I kind of laughed myself when he said it. I wasn't offended. I was like, yeah, that's kind of on us. But you should see him with a hockey helmet on and flowing out the back of the CCM. The kid looks awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I can see that too. Yeah.
So, but then after like a day in the lake and then a shower, like his hair turns into a mess, which you can kind of see in the next shot of the sunset, as the sun is setting. We had this kind of nice little mist that was going across the lake, and I wanted to get a shot of that. And so that was like probably the next night or two nights later. And I said, hey, guys, come on out. Now you can see he looks like the Reverend Jim Ignatowski at this point. So it's not good at all.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's also awesome in the photo with him standing in front of the train.
Yeah, that's getting back to the better lid, though. At least it's, you know, a little bit of a young
still
Nick Nolte.
Crazy. It's still crazy.
That's Nick Nolte right there, crazy. 48 hours. Yeah, so he's a good-looking kid. Anyways, real quick then, then there's the sunset shot a little bit later on, no kids in it, which probably should have been my landscape photo for this week, now that I look at it.
I like it. I think it's better than your other one.
Oh, shoulda, coulda. Woulda, yeah, seems to be my theme. But this one's actually, this was the 85 on the 5D Classic, and it's actually the Brennheiser method in that it's actually only two photos. Mm-hmm. But I shot basically landscape orientation with the camera, and then I shot one up into the sky just to get more of that sky and patch it in later.
Cool.
Just to make it much bigger, because we had some really cool colors. I like the way they hit off the lake. And then I want to talk quickly about I know we're running out of time here. We've gone long, but the canoe photo.
Okay.
What do you think of the canoe photo? Besides the fact that, okay, I'll just say, you say it.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah. Well, no, what do you think of it?
I like it. I just think that the orange life jackets are way too bright.
Oh, I even toned those down.
Oh God, they're burning my.
They, I know they are. I guess that must be some sort of a safety feature on them that they're extra orange. I don't know,
But no, it's a good photo. And I, because I see that there's a JPEG and a RAW, and I looked at the RAW version, which is, I guess, still a JPEG, but I see that you pulled off the save here.
Yeah, I did the save, which is actually a bit much if you look at it. Like, if you look at the final image, it looks a little bit much. Like, I've gone a little overboard, but I didn't have a choice, because if you look at the actual out-of-camera image, you can see it's pretty underexposed.
Right.
And I really had to do a huge save move. This is actually a selfie. No, like, I brought the GorillaPod. I put the camera down on a little dock, set it, put the timer on, sort of focused in the middle at like an F8 or F, probably no, at like F11 to make sure everything's in focus. And then we paddled forward. My wife tripped the trigger with a 10-second timer, and we paddled backwards until we were in the shot and sort of held there. And did one shot on the timer, and that's how we got this shot.
That's like taking the run in a step for that's a paddle.
That was a paddle out. Yeah, that's why. If you look, the main reason I wanted to mention that is because you look at my paddling technique, it's terrible. But I'm actually paddling backwards, and I'm stabilizing. I'm steering the image so that we're aligned properly for the shot.
Well, good job. That's the first ever paddle out selfie. I think you might have invented the paddle out selfie for canoers around the world.
We'll check. I'm sure Brenizer did that too.
Yeah.
So, or some guy in Poland will probably be doing this now.
Yeah, he's totally ripping it
off. But we went to my kids. We saw some other people out in the lake, and my kids said, "Oh, they wanted to go in a boat. They'd never been in a boat like this before." And they said rowboat, because there's rowboats out there as well. And they said they wanted to go in a rowboat. I said, no, we'll get a canoe. That's what we'll do. Like, that sounds like fun. Go rent a canoe. And we went up to the guy, the German dude who's renting out canoes. This is actually called a Canada canoe, believe it or not.
Okay.
Don't know why. But I don't know. Even if you're not Joe Outdoors, if you're from Canada, there's a pretty good chance you've been in, you know, a canoe or two.
Sure.
And so the guy just says to me, like, we're going to rent it. And he's like, you ever done this before? I was a little offended. It's like, just point me to the canoe, all right? And he's like, yeah, you want a life jacket? Yeah, I'll be all right. So,
wow.
Yeah, no, I had to tough guy it for the kids.
Johnny Canuck.
Well, the part of it too, we paddled over to the other side, and just for no good reason, I just made the kids portage. All right, you're learning to portage today. Here we go.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Anyway, a couple days there, drove up to Hamburg, walked around the city there. It's a pretty nice city. So I just posted a couple of real quick photos from that just to run out the clock on the vacation. There's one shot of my son in the subway. I love shooting in the subway stations.
Okay.
Especially in Germany, in Vancouver in the SkyTrain, not tremendously good looking. But in Germany, the S-Bahn, the U-Bahn, they're all pretty cool places to shoot. So that's why I snapped this one. Okay. And then because I don't snap a ton of just regular snapshots, I just snapped a boring shot of my kids in the main square in Hamburg, just standing right dead center of the image. They could care less.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, yeah, here's a snapshot of you guys in Hamburg.
Okay.
And then the last one, we had a friend snap a photo of us in front of one of the many bridges in Hamburg and on the river. And my favorite part of this image is the look on my son's face. He's just confused by what's going on.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Here?
So there you go. That was the vacation.
Awesome.
Capped off by the return home, the 3 a.m. leave. Once again, hot move. 8.5-hour drive from Hamburg, home before noon. Done.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Challenge for next week.
Yes.
I already got one.
Okay.
CTO.
Okay.
That's color temperature orange. That is a, for those who don't know, that is a gel. So that the rest is up to you. Use a CTO. Remember, okay. The monthly challenge, courtesy of Adam, is light painting. Make sure you hashtag that with Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Also, hashtag Adam Sucks, and we'll have a look at that.
Okay.
All right, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.